Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The way the Penguins have played, I'd say they've been the quicker team. They've been better around the front.
And they score right off the faceoff. Justin Brazeau, his first goal as a Penguin. Anthony Mantha retrieved the puck for him. And been empty for Malkin. Brazeau, empty net. Score. Justin Brazeau has both goals, and the Penguins lead 2-0.
Like, you don't really care what anybody else has to say. So they don't care if everyone thinks they're not a very good team. Just came in here and played a perfect hockey game. I think 80-plus points, a .500 season, and a year of growth. But that was a terrific start. Artur Shelov's with the shutout. Dan Mews with the win in his first NHL game.
Man, was that something, Bob. You might call it a Broadway musical. Do you like that horse?
I like that horse.
You know what my favorite Broadway musical was, Limits? The Music Man. Did you ever see that, Bob? Or did you see Les Miserables? Was that your favorite?
I saw both, actually. And he should be. That he stole Broadway last night away from the man who was supposed to come in and take it from them and Mike Sullivan.
He sure did. I don't know what this means. I don't care what it means right now. We're living in the moment, Bob. Our lives are entirely in the present. The past doesn't exist. The future hasn't yet happened. I'm living in the present. You only get one chance to make a first impression. That was a doozy. I once asked Sully, believe it or not, I interviewed Sully when he first got here. And I wanted to get to the man behind the hockey coach, because for the first 3 months, he didn't smile once. And one of the things I asked him is, well, you know, what do you like to do in your spare time? He says, I go see Broadway plays. I said, what's your favorite? He said, The Jersey Boys. How
Very
do you like
choice.
That, Bob?
I like that choice, too.
But Dan Mews absolutely stole the spotlight last night by playing the kind of team-first, conscientious, disciplined, defensive hockey that Sully couldn't coax out of this team for his last 3 years here. They already have a shutout this year. You know when their last shutout was last year, Limits? Wrong. February 1st.
And guess what?
February 1st.
Was it Tristan
Jarry?
They
didn't give up the first goal on the first shot either.
Miracles can happen, Bob. We'll get to that in a moment in a show opening six-pack. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. I love this kind of weather. My wife loves this kind of weather. This is hoodie weather. This is golf weather.
This is golf weather.
This is the best.
When are we going to golf, Bob?
I don't know.
We didn't golf all summer.
No. How about where I belong? I did not golf once my own ball. You believe that?
Let's go today.
Gotta work.
Call in sick.
Bob, all the invitations that we had for the show, too, that we haven't been able to put out there.
That's on me.
Limits, are you okay today?
I'm doing wonderful.
What is this Ben Kindle controversy? You're saying we pronounced the name wrong. I just asked some people who call the games. It's Kindle.
Kindle.
Right. So I received a text from our wonderful friend Jeff Hathorn last week.
Is it that he wanted Kindle?
And I wanted
to
confirm with Bob. Well, they said that it's Kindle, and I guess Bob mispronounced it. I don't know, but Jeff just wanted to give a little FYI.
Kindle?
Maybe Kindle. Maybe you said Kindle.
No, it's not Kindle. I know that they haven't.
If you've mispronounced Shelofs, I get that, Bob.
Shelofs. That's my goaltender right there.
Or Lizotte, you can say Lizotte, or Brazo, you can say a number of things.
Brazier. I don't say a lot of things.
There's a lot of guys, Brazers. But Kindle seems fairly self-explanatory here. Limits. I mean. But Kindle.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just passing along,
well,
trying to help
the
show.
Whatever his name is, he played one hell of a hockey game
for
an 18-year-old kid.
An 18-year-old.
As disciplined, won face-offs. He was on the ice late, and I loved, absolutely love what Dan Muse did for the starting lineups.
There's a book his career, Bob. You know where you can read it? Kindle. I'm done with those. Sorry.
I like that.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying he had three 20-year vets aside the two kids.
That was great beautiful. At the beginning
of the
game.
When I heard that, I said, that's a strike of genius there by that coach.
Yeah. They did the usual thing where young guys making their debuts skate out there alone. Yeah, but Dan Muse showed a nice touch at the beginning of that game. That was fabulous to have the three horsemen and then the two young guys.
See, and I say this only because it would be true, but Mike Sullivan's a very good hockey coach, as we know. But he would have problems playing rookies as much as Dan Muse did last night.
Yeah.
Especially 18-year-old rookies.
Yeah.
He would have not put them out there in the biggest moments, and I think that's something, show of support from the head coach. If you play well, we're gonna not hold you back here.
Listen, Mike Sullivan was a champion here, and that should never, ever be forgotten. But he actually, the last 3 years, he wasn't a very good hockey coach here. The Penguins simply didn't do what he wanted them to do for whatever reason. I don't know. He wanted more of a conscientious, disciplined, defensive hockey team, and that is not what he got. He couldn't coax that out of them. Dan Muse did it in one night. That was a fair matchup last night. It was two guys with new teams in their first games, and one team looked really organized, really energized, really fresh. The other team looked stale, looked disorganized.
Slow.
They frankly looked like the Rangers from last season.
When they fell apart.
And it's fair to say that when Sully got here all those years ago, it didn't look good at first, the first four games or so, and we all know what happened after that. But I have a feeling that he walked into a landmine there in New York with a very paranoid, disliked general manager, bad ownership, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, and a very interesting roster. And I don't know that Sully is going to have long as a honeymoon period. You just heard the catcalls at the end of the game there. In a half-empty Madison Square Garden. But who cares about him right now? This is about Dan Muse, the Joe Block lookalike, and God, it's so uncanny, Bob. Are you sure he... Are we sure he's not Joe Block? Every time they show him, I expect him to give a baseball stat, some archaic baseball stat. Bob, I've never seen anything like this. There's no doppelganger in Pittsburgh sports history like Muse to Block and Block to Muse.
Yeah, I think so. But whatever it is, and there's something about, and the Pittsburgh Clothing Company put this on Twitter, I thought funny, all the head coaches in town now are bald.
That's right.
Basically, you know, at the top of their heads. So.
Right.
But whatever the case, I really, here's the most important thing to me that I saw. There are a lot of positives here, but to me, when you have a 1-0 lead, you're a young team, you're playing on the road at MSG.
Right.
And you outshoot the team that is trailing 14-5 in the third period.
Wow.
And really carried the play to them, even though they were the team protecting the lead. I thought that was terrific.
Limits, why don't we make this our opening six-pack? That was item number one. Ron is 10 beers deep in Fort Myers, and it's not even quarter after 10. Give us our second one, would you please? Thank you. You raise a good point there, Bob. It was everything that Sully tried to do with this team in the last 200-some games here and more, and he just couldn't. And it's only one night, but the contrast was stark, no pun intended. It really was. You mentioned it. They shut games down. Sully was great at that for years, and the Penguins couldn't do it in recent years. They couldn't protect leads. They were such a loose and undisciplined team, just flat out bad defensively, and they got bad goaltending, and that's a bad combination. They finished third from the bottom in goals against last year, tied with the Buffalo Sabres, for God's sakes. I think that was their best defensive performance, the Penguins, definitely they didn't have one like that last season. They didn't. It might have been their best in the last 3 years, for God's sakes. It might have been, and I don't know what it means. They could get hammered in the rematch on Saturday night. But again, we just have one little impression. I'm not changing my Penguins prediction. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. A man named Parker Wotherspoon led the whole team in ice time. I'm not changing my prediction. But I'm also not going to discount the idea that Dan Muse could have maybe the kind of season that another bald man, Spencer Carberry, out in Washington did.
Exactly.
With a couple good old players and young players
and
that he coached. A system, yes.
And
right?
They bought in. It's about buying into the system, too. And that's what Carberry did down there, and it turned Washington into what was thought to be a doormat kind of season into one of the better teams in the entire conference. And they weren't doing it with the usual cast of characters. TJ Oshie, who's now doing commentating, he wasn't around. He was hurt. A lot of guys, they brought in guys. They made some really good trades, but they also drafted and developed some. So we'll see how this goes long term. I agree, it's one game. But I was encouraged by that, and that was one of the reasons why I thought they would be better than most people think. Just because I heard that Dan Muse is really good with young players especially, and he has a way of getting through. So we'll see. It may, you know, goaltending will be key. I thought that was another big thing last night. Shelovs, give Dubas credit for that. He saw an opportunity for Gallioli, who was being trapped in Vancouver, and then he went after and got him. And he may not be the guy in the future. Still may be Murashov, but why not have a whole bunch of those guys?
He is good with young players. That's the rep anyway. You could say that he's their muse, Bob.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to stop with that now.
No, I like it. I think that's what people like.
I don't think there's any more.
No, there might be.
To get out of that.
Limits? Let the music play, Joe. Yeah. Let the music play.
Next. Bob, what becomes of Tristan Jarry, their $5 million goaltender, their $27 million goalie? Why is he here? He's not the starter. He doesn't start opening night. This was supposed to be his rebound season. Some people thought he played really well late last year. I didn't necessarily share that opinion. He had some good games. He played better than he was, but you could have played better than he was early last season. Why is he here?
Because they haven't been able to trade him, and they're waiting for an opportunity to pop up somewhere around the league that they can somehow get something in return because, you know, Kyle Dubas is good as acquiring draft picks. He likes that no matter where they come from. Like, for example, Brunick was a second-round pick. You don't think of many second-round picks, especially in age 19. So he'll look for an opportunity. In the meantime, they're going to keep him on the roster. They'll play him from time to time. But I think that time will come at some point. There'll be an injury or two along the way, and somebody will think. And quite frankly, Joe, $5 million in the goaltending department is not all that much these days, especially if the Penguins help pay some of it off.
I know, Bob, but they're going to wind up maybe buying out, I was going to say Adam, Ryan Graves after the season. For a team like they have, even $5 million a year, if it's wasted, that's big-time wasted money.
How about
money.
If you can cut it in half? How about pay
$2.5
million?
That'd be great. Good. Then goodbye. It's just, it's what a horrific signing.
Why
that
else
was.
Would you think he's here, though? I mean, it's,
oh, I
it's got to be
You're
that.
Right.
There's no other.
You're right. Next. Thank you, Limits. Bob, other random observations from the game. I'll give you a couple, and then you give me a couple, and perhaps we'll invite Limits in. I thought Evgeny Malkin was the best player on the ice, and I thought that Erik Karlsson, who had one major gaffe, he did.
Giveaway to Zibanejad right in the slot.
Yeah, but I sensed before the season that his interest in playing for Team Sweden and that whole thing, and maybe his interest in going somewhere where he can win a cup. There's, I just have a feeling that he's going to play a better brand of hockey. And if he does, that's a guy who can drive play for you. Like if he suddenly becomes more responsible and sort of fits in this system better, that's a guy who's going to play, you know, 20 to 25 minutes a night who could make a huge difference for you. I thought Malkin was the best player. I thought Karlsson, with that gaffe even, was very good last night. And if those two guys are really good, that could change things.
Again, it's only one game, but what they've been prone to do in the past is give the puck away and they take penalties at the worst times, especially Malkin. So far, one game. They only gave up two power plays to the Rangers. They only had one, so I think that's a step in the right direction. Chris Letang, I thought, was, you know, good too, but he has that tendency to push the play, which is fine unless you get caught and there's an odd man break. My biggest observation, aside from five shots on goal in the third for the Rangers, was no odd man breaks. We sat here last
right.
year talking about odd man breaks left and right. Every time he turned up, it was
right.
a 3-on-2, 2-on-1. Did you see any last night?
No.
If you did, it was a result
it was
of
like
one turnover.
Yeah, quasi 3-on-2 at one point, maybe. That was it. You're exactly right. Limits, do you have any random observation from the game last night?
Well, I mean, Evgeny Malkin off the face-off looked vintage.
What a play. And we haven't even credited Brazo.
No.
Is that how you say his name? I don't know anybody's name.
Sean
right
McDonough
now.
Said Brazo.
Brazo.
Okay, Brazo.
He could be
Lizotte.
Whatever he wants to be.
Lizotte.
That
Kendall.
And Shelov's.
And Shelov's.
I mean, Archer Shelov's played very, very well.
I mean, he didn't have to do much, but he played well.
I loved that trade from the beginning. You watched him. If you looked at some of the videos that Vancouver put up during their run to an AHL championship, he played and won 16 games.
He did everything he had to do.
You're right.
And he looked very calm.
But he couldn't get ahead of Thatcher Demko in Vancouver. And Lankinen, who's their backup. So you can't get ahead of them. What do? They needed to create something in terms of acquiring a draft pick, which they did from the Penguins, and the Penguins got a goaltender who may be, at 24, still one of their best options moving forward. Who knows?
Limits, please. Bob, this is going to turn into a 12-pack right quick, but I have another observation I think is really important, because the best way to foster sort of a team approach in that sport is to get everybody involved. And one thing Sullivan was absolutely allergic to was playing his fourth line. Go look at the ice times.
Oh, I saw it.
And how Muse spread him out. And like I said, go look at the defense times. Parker Wotherspoon. No relation to former Philadelphia 76er Clarence Weatherspoon, Bob. I don't think. Do you?
You may have changed a vowel here and there.
Might have,
you
know, yeah. But he led the team in ice time. If you want to have a true team, and you want to have a team that has sort of lasting power from game to game, and you believe in a fourth line, you spread it out like that, spread out ice times and trust people. Sully refused to do it here, flat out refused in his final years. Dan Muse did it in the first game. He flat out outcoached Sullivan, both of them with brand new teams last night, right?
He did. And to your point about Parker Wotherspoon and also Harrison Brunick, these are guys that I think, again, Mike Sullivan would probably not have played in this opener. They had Matt Dumba. They had Connor Clifton. These are guys who make an excess of $3 million they acquired in the offseason. He chose not to. They're healthy scratches in favor of Parker Wotherspoon and Harrison Brunick.
Play the guys you think are deserving.
He wasn't afraid of it, and he did it. So
sounds like, again, Bob, it was music to your ears.
Music.
I'm sorry, Limits. I can't stop. There's Ron. Next, please. Crack one in honor of Ron.
You're already four behind.
Very amusing.
Let's move on. Very amusing. Very good. I like that.
This is rubbing off on him.
Do you have one, Bob?
The Savvy New Hole.
Savvy Muse.
Savvy Muse. Yeah, news out.
Thank you. Jeez. I almost said Joe Bendel.
Bald. We were talking bald.
I love Joe Bendel. Yes. Speaking of fantastic bald people.
I bought him his first martini.
What?
He never tried a martini. And I was pushing my French martinis.
Where? And when?
I think in New York. I can't remember exactly where. Yeah. And that's what makes a martini taste even better.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The lights off, sip it, breathe it in.
I don't think I ever had a martini in my whole life, and I had a lot.
I'll take you. I think you'll like what I like. So, French.
Interesting. Well, I had Joe Flacco Bengal, so somehow that came out as Joe Bendel. Joe Flacco on the Bengals, Bob. I read recently where Jay Glazer said Burrow might not be back until the playoffs. But in the meantime, does Flacco give them a chance? Was this a good move by them?
I thought that they had to make a move. This move kind of surprised me. Not that he's not a good option given what was out there, because I think he does still get the ball quickly away. But this offensive line is in disarray in Cincinnati. He's not going to have the kind of time I think he needs if he's going to go down the field for one of their wide receivers, who are both very talented. And I think a lot of this has to do with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins saying, hey, you got to do something here. He's talking to his coach, his GM. We can't, you know, you pay us a lot of money for this, and we need better quarterbacking. So I think it depends on his offensive line. I can't see this being a drastic difference. Will it improve? Yes, but their problems are defensively. They're I don't care who's their quarterback right now. Even if it's Joe Burrow, as we saw last year, they missed the playoffs with him scoring almost 40 points a game.
I think it's a good move for them.
They had to make some move.
Flacco has been around. He can identify things before the snap that can maybe make up for a lack of protection, and he also will give those guys a chance to make plays. I don't know if you saw the game the other day. Browning was nowhere close, even when they were open, which was rare. He just has imploded, and I think Flacco will give him a chance. They just need to be around 500. I don't think they're going to be, and their defense does still stink. You're right about that. But I still think that this was, you know, of all the available options out there, I think this was really smart of them to try to get. I mean, look at what Flacco did for the Browns 2 years ago. He got them to the playoffs.
Just throwing the ball all over the place. He made some interceptions, but I didn't hold him back. He's not afraid.
Next. Thank you, Limits. This was tremendous, Bob. Two fines announced by the NFL yesterday. $250,000 to Jerry Jones for giving Jets fans the middle finger. In the game Sunday. He's going to appeal, which is pretty incredible. I mean, it's on video. What are you doing? The Cardinals, meanwhile, levied a $100,000 penalty against their own coach, Jonathan Gannon, for he seemed to punch his running back, DeMarcado, because the guy lost the ball before he scored on an easy touchdown run, which seems to be an epidemic all of a sudden. Which of these acts was worse? Which of them, the middle finger from Jones or the punch from Gannon to his own player? I thought both were actually very comical, but which was worse, Bob?
To me, it was the finger. I'm sorry. He should know better. He's up there. Come on. What are you doing, Jerry?
Didn't part of you love it? It's Jets fans, Bob.
I understand
you
it.
You treat them the way they treat you.
There's cameras everywhere. You know that. As far as Gannon, I thought he hit him more on the shoulder pass, like a moment.
Maybe.
Like, you know, I think that's a moment that he realized at the time that's going to cost us the game, maybe. And it's a stupid play on your part. He wanted to get him. I don't think apology was necessary. He did what he had to do. If you want to do it privately, to come out publicly and do it,
I'm sorry.
He
definitely swatted at him. I don't know. You don't think an apology was necessary?
No.
To
him personally, yes. Not to go out in the public and do it the way he did.
I don't know about that.
I mean, that was one of those plays.
Part of it was comical, but you can't go Bobby Knight in the NFL.
I don't think he did Bobby Knight. What I'm saying
is close.
Okay. But how many coaches have you seen in the past? Now, I know that things have changed, and now because they're Cowher would grab you by, you know, and he'd get in your face. A lot of people didn't like that. He's trying to make a point, and the only way you get it in sometimes is to make it very obvious that you are mad. And to correct a situation immediately, sure, you can bring him along, sit him down, pat him on the back, and tell him, you know, but that was not the emotion at the moment. We're talking about emotions at the moment.
I don't mind getting in a guy's face, yelling at him, whatever, benching, whatever. But that looked a little bit over the line to me, although it was, like I said, half comical. You think Jonathan Gannon throws a chair on the field this week, Limits? which was the worst act?
I think the punch.
The punch.
I think the punch.
Tell
by
Bob
Gannon,
about that. He doesn't think it was a big deal at all.
When I went back and watched the video a couple of times, it did look, you know, it wasn't a playful little, you know, slap that you'd give to, you know, your friend on the side of the shoulder when you're mad at them. It looked like there was some force and
you can't punch your players, Bob.
He's trying to make a point to a young kid who made a terrible mistake. And I'm sure that they've gone over stuff like that before. I'm sure every coach, because it's so rampant. You see it all the time. Don't do this. He basically caused, you know, one thing I like about AI in a way, but I don't like about AI, is then you get how they will take a player's voice and come up with, and did you see the one with Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I also saw one with Mark Sanchez. That was pretty good.
Well,
what was the one with Kyler Murray?
Oh, he basically said, I don't know why I'm here. I got these idiots who are losing a ball and go, you call us a game. You're not going to be here tomorrow. Forget you. We don't even know who you are anymore. Blah, you know, it was funny.
Oh, that poor guy.
But
he's been
that
on
scares
like
me. They can do that because they can do that with any one of our voices.
Limits. Thank you. The Baltimore Ravens made a trade as well. Adafe Owe and a 27 seventh-round pick to the Chargers for, is it Alohi Gilman, who's actually a pretty good player?
I think it's Kindle.
I think it's She Loves. and a fifth-round pick. They give up on Owe, who had 10 sacks last season and had a pretty good pressure rate this season, although zero sacks. he sort of followed his college career. One of these guys where you say, man, he really gets after the quarterback. He just never tackles him. Although last year, Bob, he did have 10 sacks. What do you make of this trade?
I couldn't believe it. Given all the problems the Ravens are having defensively, you're taking a 26-year-old former number one pick and you're just giving him away to your brother? That sounds like insider trading to me. Because the other Harbaugh has needs too, and many of them are on that same part of the
Well, one is in the secondary, and this kid is not a bad player. He's not a kid anymore. He's 28 years old.
But a 26-year-old former first-round pick coming off 10 sacks immediately, given the state of that defense, you're just going to get rid of him? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I know, but they got a real player. I guess that's my point.
Well, they lost a real player too. His pressure rate, if you're going to look at Pro Football Focus, and you're going to look at pressure rates, they matter. He didn't get to the quarterback. He didn't get sacks, but he's still in his DNA as a guy who can get to the quarterback. We've seen that. I just thought it was a little bit, for a team that needs more than just what they got, it's a trade I wouldn't have made, just me personally.
It's interesting. Gilman last year, he was hurt for part of the year. He wound up with a sack, an interception in 11 starts, 4 pass deflections, 50 tackles. Not a great grade from Pro Football Focus, but he's going to play there. Apparently, they're more worried about their pass, their secondary than their pass rush.
They got guys out big time. They have guys out everywhere.
All right, Bob. Next. Bob. We had an interesting Monday night game that you and I never had a chance to talk about.
Wow, that was.
And I had two takes, and I'll say it very briefly. I think Jacksonville might be for real, but my overall take from the game, in the context of the mediocrity that has completely enveloped the AFC, the Chiefs basically had that game, and I bet you if they played them again, they would win that game. More importantly, Patrick Mahomes looks very spry and very good to me. Interception at the goal line notwithstanding. And somehow, some way, to my great fear and terror, I feel like this is all adding up to the Arrowhead Invitational again and the Chiefs hosting the AFC title game. Your thoughts?
They'll be in the playoffs. They're out of limits bubble, though. He's made that clear. He's not in
the bubble.
He's not believing in what he sees. But I agree with you, Joe. I think that team, even in defeat, they had that game. To go down there and play against a good team, and I think Jacksonville is a good team, to have the lead, and then watch, and I give credit here to Trevor Lawrence. He made some great passes in their final drive, which resulted in his stumbling and bumbling into the end zone.
Yeah. I'm scared, Bob. No, I don't want to see.
They
the
already
Chiefs
have three
again.
Losses.
I can't take
they're
it
not
anymore.
Get, I don't think they're going to get.
I
home
can't.
Field
that's
all
the
way
point.
Through.
Everybody's going to have losses.
I
the Bills stink.
Okay, well, you're sour on the Bills.
They're really bad.
So you think the Patriots are now?
Patriots are going to win the division.
Wow.
They're a better team.
I thought the Patriots would make the playoffs, but I didn't think they'd win the division.
And I think Drake May is the newest NFL star. By the way, he's not just good; he's a star.
He was terrific in their last game, no question. But I still think Jacksonville. Even when teams are down that you expect not to be, like the Bengals and the Ravens, you have teams like Jacksonville, like New England, Denver. They're all in a situation where they got good quarterbacks, and they're starting to play the way you'd expect them to play. So it's still going to be tough on everyone, including the Steelers. You know, these 2 weeks are essential to them.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, Bob. And by the way, how's this for a hot take? I think the Bills are going to come here in the divisional round. Do you like that, Bob?
Do you like that, Joe?
I do.
I don't.
Why?
Because Josh Allen is still a difference maker to me. He can carry you.
He can.
And it just seems to me that in the past, the Steelers have had trouble with good quarterbacks in big games. So I don't know if I'd want that at all. I hope they get a home field for sure. But
well,
I don't want
win,
it to be. I don't want it
listen,
to be the Bills.
If you don't win this division now, just call in sick to the playoffs.
I mean,
like
they
you should
be,
to,
they,
to TV today.
I can't
to play
do
golf.
That because I'm here, and that would be very, very obvious that you suckered me into changing my opinion, and now I'm sick.
Next. Bob, this feels like it's going to be a troublesome game for the Steelers. It feels to me like the Browns are going to make them uncomfortable, whether you want to start with that defense that I think is pretty good. All you really have to know is that the Browns beat Green Bay and had Minnesota beat late in a very competitive game. Like, I just think common sense tells me that this is going to be a very competitive football game. The Browns appear to have a running back now. They may have a quarterback or at least somebody who's not their previous quarterback and who can move around a little bit, in other words, behind that offensive line. And something just tells me that it's going to be highly competitive. It's a game of survival here. You can't lose to this team. You have to find a way to survive. But I sense a troublesome game. Do you?
Yes, I do. I think they can still and should win it. But I also know, and I've watched those same games that you did, and I thought, boy, they had that game won against the Vikings. They had him down. They put Carson Wentz in a situation he had to go 80 yards, and it's against their defense, which is supposed to be their best, and he carved him right up all the way down the field. So
yeah.
That was a little surprising to me. But they were in that game, even with Dillon Gabriel as a quarterback. Thought he played well. He overthrew some guys, but he also, when he had to make nice passes, didn't turn the ball over. He's going to have to play that same brand here against a Pittsburgh defense, which has really started to take the ball away a lot, and he's going to have to be worried about that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where were we, Bob? Oh, yes, in the middle of a 12-pack, and it's quite enjoyable, I might add. We're coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Limits, why don't you crack one? Thank you. Bob, Aaron Judge hit a big homer last night. The Yankees back in that series down 2-1. Seattle leads the Tigers 2-1.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez, Pirates. Put them in together.
Oh,
same sentence.
Would that be nice? And the Dodgers are about to sweep the Phillies. However, on the docket, I would think, and of the most interest for Pirate fans, or maybe of the least interest, is that the Brewers can complete a sweep today with Quinn Blanking Priester on the mound against Jameson Taillon. Bob, who are you rooting for in baseball right now? And what does all this, particularly the Brewers, say about the Pirates?
We've gone over this before. It says they're doing all the right things where the Pirates are doing all the wrong things. That includes drafting, development, more than anything else. But also, when they decide to spend, they spend it wisely. Check out Jackson Churio's contract and what he's been able to do. So I think I'd love to see the Brewers win it all, just for that reason. It's a well-run organization. There are a lot of them in this stage of the game that are well-run. But they've done it in a way with Pat Murphy as their manager, who he just seems like the perfect fit for that team. He knows how to get under them when he needs to. He also knows how to pat them on the back. And the C. Quinn Priester revitalized after he went there. And now, just keep in mind, it didn't work for him in Boston. That netted the Pirates Nick York, because Boston had the same problems with Quinn Priester the Pirates did. He goes to Milwaukee, for whatever reason, it took a while. And now he's one of the better pitchers. He's not still elite, but he's a very good pitcher.
I mean, he only pitched in one game for Boston.
I know, but they soured on him immediately.
I know, but this is such a horrific reflection of the Pirates. It is.
Yeah,
here,
absolutely.
Quinn Priester was 5-9 with a 6.46 ERA here. First round pick. We all know that. In Milwaukee, he's 13-3 with a 3.32 ERA. He's basically cut his ERA in half. He doesn't walk people like he did here. It's just sickening, really, to watch.
It is, and good for him. He's just like Tyler Glass now.
I mean, I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad for him. He seems like a great kid. But from a Pirates fan perspective,
no, it's terrible.
It's just
even
horrifying.
Jameson Taillon. You know, he's still pitching and pitching well. What was his record this year for the Cubs? He was productive.
He was good.
For them.
Yeah, he was very good and pitched in some very big moments. It's just you know that meme or GIF, Bob, where the karate guy takes repeated kicks in the groin for like an hour.
That's what it's like.
That's the life of a Pirate fan. I'm sorry for people. I really am. I'm just sorry for your losses, the many, many losses that you take. It's just, how much can you take?
Well, that's the point. They they have guys on their roster right now, pitchers, who I think should be able to develop here. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them stumble a little bit and they end up trading them and they turn out to be good players elsewhere. That seems to be the way it goes.
Yeah. Travis Williams said last week, we have the best young rotation in baseball.
All the more reason to go out and spend money on players.
Is he sure about that? I think they have a lot of obvious. They have the best young pitcher in baseball. Is he sure they have the best young rotation in baseball?
I mean,
I don't know about that.
Potentially, if 23-year-old Skeens, 22-year-old Chandler.
Potentially is the Pirates' favorite word, Bob.
I understand that, but I can see that.
I can see the pitching talent.
The problem is, while you're acknowledging that, you need to acknowledge we have nothing else right now.
Yeah, you know what else give me another beer.
Oh, you want a shot with your beer?
You know
we
what
have
else?
Shots too. Do we have that here?
That Bob Nutting's human shield had to say last week, and by the way, or whenever it was, I don't know, I wasn't here. But Nutting needs to get up and talk. Sorry.
This was the time to do it.
Travis Williams, he sends up there to be the henchman, and Travis intimates that his time with the Penguins. Do you have that quote by any chance, Limits? His time with the Penguins sort of showed him what it takes to win, Bob. He knows that because he came from a winning organization. I'm sorry, Travis, and he seems like a nice man, too.
Yes.
The Penguins won because they went to the bottom of the league, got a bunch of incredible draft picks, won the Sidney Crosby lottery, had Crosby and Malkin, and a salary cap because that league went dark for a year to get a salary cap.
For its own benefit.
Absolutely nothing from Travis Williams' time with the Penguins translates to the Pirates. Nothing.
Other than he was with the organization that did it.
Well, yeah, that. There was that coincidence, yeah. Yes.
No, I get it.
Do we have that limits? No, okay. That's all right. What did you think of those statements? And then when him and Charrington...
I don't like the thing because I hear it all the time about full stop. We are going to... Our goal is to make the playoffs and win championships. Okay. We've heard that over and over and over, and then the action does not match the words.
When they're both asked, him and Charrington, Travis Williams and Charrington, the human shields for Nutting, are asked about payroll next year, you could tell the answer was rehearsed because they had the same one
right.
That said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, payroll is not an impediment. No, that was a yes or no question.
Right.
Is payroll going? Is your paltry payroll going to increase?
I would have been more specific. If I was there, and we put in requests. They don't, especially for Nutting, it's hard to get him. But my question would be, why can't you raise your payroll? And I'm going to give you a number here, Bob: $120 million.
Yeah.
Tell me why. Why can't you do that?
When we've other given teams ourselves just the like flexibility at the trade deadline in terms of payroll, and we believe that we have the ability to go out and add. And we have pitching depth that we can use in order to turn that into hitting depth.
That's also a good way to go, but you better hit on it.
Who's that?
That's Travis Williams.
That was Williams on the payroll.
Let me hear that again. Let's hear that again, Bob, if you don't
mind. Given ourselves the flexibility at the trade deadline in terms of payroll, and we believe that we have the ability to go out and add. And we have pitching depth that we can use in order to turn that into hitting depth.
Was he talking last week or at the trade deadline?
No, that was last week.
That was last week.
But that's my point about it. He said trade deadline. I'm thinking you're going to wait all the way to the trade deadline to acquire bats. That's not good. You should spend this time in the offseason doing it. And if you want to use some of your nice, talented pitching, which I would agree with, use it as trade bait to get what you need.
All right. That leads to another question. Limits?
Oh, my.
Jason
I'm starting to walk a little woozily.
I know. It's been a rough night. Jason Mackey wrote about McCutcheon. You can make arguments on both sides. Bob, when I look at the DHs, I'll just take the National League, even though it's universal now. Most of the DHs in the National League are more productive than McCutcheon, who's going to be a year older. I always believe it's better to cut bait with an older player a year early than a year too late. There have to be better options out there for a guy whose only job is to hit. He's a designated hitter. He offers nothing else. He can't run anymore. He can't field anymore. And he doesn't hit enough relative to other DHs in the National League to keep that job. You have to do better. I love McCutcheon as much as anybody else. And everybody does. He's the most popular Pirate since Willie Stargell. But it's time to upgrade. Do you agree?
Yes. And the exit is going to be very interesting how it goes, because I think Andrew McCutcheon has already indicated he'd like to come back for more. The Pirates did him a favor bringing him back, honestly. He wanted to come back. They signed him, and they signed him again. I don't think the Pirates owe him anything beyond that, because but again, you better have a bat better. If not, he's still a decent hitter. It's just if I'm a designated hitter, you want power on a team that has no power. You've got to look elsewhere to find it. I mean, I hope in a perfect world for me, it would be Andrew McCutchen having a role with the Pirates in a different capacity, retiring a Pirate and moving on. He's going to be, and he still is, revered as one of the best players in the history of the franchise, and that's fine. But to keep giving him a time back, and this takes nothing away from his bat speed is still very good. It's just that the production on a team like this needs to be enhanced in so many different ways. And one way to do it is having a better bopper as your designated hitter.
I agree with every syllable you just uttered, Bob.
And half syllable, too?
And the quarter syllables, and the quarter although syllable. Some of them were questionable.
McCutchen is terrific, and it's hard to say that because you make it sound like...
I know, but he seems to have intimated that he wants to play for a winner. Would he have any options outside of Pittsburgh?
I don't know. I mean, he once went with the Phillies. He's been around. He's been with teams that were good.
I wonder about that. Limits, would you bring back McCutchen?
I would, because I feel like there are other positions that are in more dire need of an upgrade. Left field, they have no offensive production. Third base, no offensive production. Nothing at short until Griffin gets here.
And you're convinced that they're going to address all of those?
That's why I would rather address those positions first before I even look at DH.
Exactly.
Because I feel
like... What difference does it... The positions... Here's the first thing the Pirates should do, and I just broke my glasses,
Bob. My goodness,
Bob.
That was... You Jeez, talk about
the first thing
Gannon,
they should do on their big...
All those DeMarcado, cans of beer there,
all of a sudden, that beer's taken over.
Now he's throwing
things. We need
things.
A slow motion replay.
I've turned
the
into Jonathan
went
Gannon. The first thing they should do on their big organizational depth chart, which I bet is written in the kind of magic marker, well, that we all have, Bob, on our refrigerators, the mm-hmm. calendar where you can wipe it clean and then put something new yeah. on there. Wipe away every single defensive position. I don't give a crap about defense right now. I don't. Well, I care about bats. You start listing bats you can get. We'll figure out the positions later. So get bat one, get bat two, get bat three. If that means somebody has to move around, if that means somebody has to go to the outfield, if that means Nick Gonzalez has to go to third, if that means we switch guys around in the minors who are ticketed for certain positions, I don't care. Go get bats, period. There's no hierarchy of positions. I don't look at it like, oh, we need a third baseman. You need bats. You need bats.
Right. There happens
Go
to be a third
them.
Baseman available
I don't
for
care.
Seattle, who's a free agent. He's also
Good.
A hitter at 49
Go get a
home
first
runs.
Baseman who can hit. Go get a catcher
Go
who
get
can
Pete
hit.
Alonso.
Go get a center fielder
him.
Who can
I don't
hit.
Care what the money
Go
says.
Get a right fielder who can hit.
Hit.
Go get a
hit.
Shortstop
hit.
Who can hit, even though you have Connor Griffin coming up. Go get a second baseman who can hit. Go get a pitcher who can hit. Have Skeens hit.
Have Madison Bumgarner just come out of retirement and hit.
They should have Skeens hit, by the way.
Yeah.
That should be one thing they should do this offseason.
Well, listen, I mean, the first things first is they got to come out. You're right. The bats are the most. I've said this since last year, and it hasn't resulted in anything. We got Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham mostly in this past one. So they need legitimate guys. And again, I want to know why they can't take a payroll to $120 million.
Get bats. Like the NBA these days, it's become a positionless league. That's what the Pirates should consider themselves. We don't have any more positions.
But
there,
I will throw this
there
at you.
None.
The Milwaukee Brewers are the perfect example of a team that can do both. They have really solid defensive players all over
sure.
their play.
Yeah.
But they also all hit, too.
Right.
So if you have that combination, and I give them credit because they've developed a lot of it, but they've also acquired it. So
the defense will settle itself.
Yeah, but I'd rather have it. If they're going to lose, I'd rather be 11-10 than 1-0.
Next. Why, thank you, Limits. Mike Tomlin said in planning ahead here, Bob, I thought this was a good question yesterday because you have a game against Cincinnati Thursday at Cincy after this Cleveland game. You've got some older players. You've got some players who are banged up mm-hmm. right now. I think he just didn't want to answer it because he didn't want to. Are you getting a call, Bob?
No, someone's at my front door.
Your doorbell rings here if someone's there?
Yeah, I can get it.
Wow.
Joey, how you doing? It's the Amazon guy. Hey.
No, Limits, do you know your Amazon guy's
You can
name
leave it there. Leave it on
name?
The front porch.
I don't know. Yes.
Neither do I.
It's typically multiple people that
Bob,
deliver packages.
Bob, you must get a lot of packages there, huh? If you know them by name?
No, by name. I try to make sure I know all these. The mail carrier, you know. I like what they have tough jobs.
They do, actually. What were we talking about?
Bats or no?
Oh, planning.
Planning.
Planning ahead. Tomlin didn't want to answer this because he didn't want to give the Browns, I think because he didn't want to give the Browns any bulletin board stuff. If you say, oh, yeah, of course, you know, we're sort of looking, you have to, because we have a game 4 days mm-hmm. later. Instead, he said, I'm just focused on this week. But, Bob, with a guy like Cam Hayward, with injured guys coming back, like, how do you play that? Jalen Ramsey, he said, could perk up this week. Do you play Ramsey? Do you save him? There's a lot of decisions to be made But the moral of the story for me is you have to be considering two games at once here.
Yeah, and I think down deep they do. They know what's coming up. And I think that because it's on a short week, if you have any hesitation with a guy like Jalen Ramsey or anyone else who is close but maybe not totally 100%, this is not the time to put him out there, especially when you're dealing with hamstrings. Once that recurs, you can be in for a long time.
How about
time.
Hayward on a snap count? Watt on a snap count?
They could do that too. I think Watt does have a snap count. You know, he's out there, but when he wants to come out, I think they know that, and they have a nice luxury. If Highsmith is back this week, which apparently he looks like he's going to be back, those three guys plus Jack Sawyer, you can do a lot of things and rest them. And I think that's the best thing for that position is to not overtax Hayward on the defensive line and Watt on the outside linebacker. Just, you know, you know how to pick and choose. And I think because Derek Harmon has been pretty good here the last few weeks, I think, and I think Y.A. Black is still going to get in there and help them.
Sunny today with a high of Dan Moore, 65, a low of Bud Dupree, 48. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I'll just tease ahead to this at noon. Pat Welter, WRAL, I believe in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, yes.
Broke a big story or wrote a big story just shredding Bill Belichick's North Carolina football program. Pat, originally from Mount Lebanon, Bob, did you apply to WRAL in Raleigh when you were a young lad?
No, that's a good television station, and so I'm sure he does good work down there too, but good for him. This is one of those stories that people will be talking about.
He went and talked to sources around the program, including parents, who said, one of them said, it's an unstructured mess. There's no culture, no organization. It's a complete disaster.
Well, did they talk to Jordan Hudson?
Well, I'm going to ask
because I think
Pat
that's...
if he's heard from Jordan Hudson, because something tells me he may have received an email or two from her since she's Belichick's sort of
GM.
Protector. Yeah.
The secretary.
The GM really is Michael Lombardi, who's described as rude and nasty. Nepotism, charges of that with all the Belichick's coaching for Bill Belichick. One parent said there's been no communication with coaches and parents. None, zero, zilch. Not one email, one text, one phone call. And as one player's parent told Pat, Belichick sold this as an NFL program, but right now it doesn't even look like a college team. This is going to be fun, Bob. And I must admit, I don't know if you guys find it pleasurable. I do, that Belichick is imploding like the Hindenburg in Raleigh. Mm.
They're not even competitive. And if you watched their game last week, by halftime, people checked out. They were done.
Yeah.
Clemson, which has not been good this year, totally dominated them.
This
and they
is
weren't
horrifying.
Even in the game.
Yeah.
And that's been the case of all of their games, really, in the conference.
I mean, when you look at the most reviled sports figures, like opponents in Pittsburgh sports in this quarter century, Belichick is easily top five. Him and Vontaze Burfict and Brady and think of a hockey player. I don't know, Scotty Hartnell, although I liked him.
I like Scotty Hartnell.
Think of, though, the most reviled opponents and Belichick's one. So I'd imagine people are taking great pleasure in this, Bob.
Yeah, I thought, game aside, I thought it was kind of a strange, curious pick.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they immediately thought of themselves as an NFL-quality team, and they were, you know, touting themselves that way. It's a totally different game in college when you're dealing with these kids, and you got to develop them and come up with different ways to compete, and what you had in Tom Brady, you don't have here.
Huh, you know, I'll say. And they're so paranoid, they're not even showing Drake May highlights, although that may have changed. It's a wonderful...
Is that real? Because I
saw
that.
Well, let's ask Pat about that, too.
They did post one. I saw North Carolina
football yesterday.
Yeah, they finally
did after pressure came. Yeah, I want to ask him what's real and what's not. That'll be fun. So will the big boy, Mark Cabali, for a whole hour. And in the meantime, Bob, let's do Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com page. Your chance to win it comes from going to that page right around noon Wednesday through Friday. Jeff Patton, we like to call him General Patton.
The General.
What's your guess, Bob, on this week's card of the week?
This is a hard one because
I'm going to go Joe Flacco.
Okay, then I'm going to say Ben Kindle, but I'm sure I don't know if you have that, Jeff, or not. If not, then I'm going to do somebody else, and I'm going to take
Linux?
We can always take Shohei Ohtani to get that off the board. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But instead of that, I'm going to, and I don't know if you have this card either, Mason Heinchel.
Ooh.
Heinchel. Who you got, Limits?
I'm picking the big dumper for hitting number 61 to the guy that had the shirt that said, hit 61 here.
Dump here.
What do you got, General, and how are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me. All great guesses, but keep in mind, we're in the commemoration business. we're into the history of sports. How could we let pass three guys playing for 20 straight years?
Okay.
Oh, that's
so
a good one.
I'm going a little bigger, if it's okay with you, Mr. Starkey. We're going to give away three cards.
Please.
I got a Chris Letang rookie card.
Yeah.
I got a Evgeny Malkin rookie card, and I have a 2006 Ovation Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
Not very many times, and I know we've touted both the good and bad of playing 20 years together, but, man, it is special. So we're going to give away all three of those cards today. Kindle does not have a card.
Not yet.
He will
soon.
Not yet. It's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, but you're not allowed to have a card now until you play a game in the NHL.
Okay. Interesting.
So he'll get one shortly.
General, you made a good point, though. We haven't talked, I don't think, enough about those three guys playing for 20 years together.
20 years.
How many players, three of them, on one team have lasted that long? I don't know the answer
question.
To that.
That's a good question. In any sport?
In any sport.
Never. I mean, you might get one guy for 20 years, and it's a miracle, let alone three on the same team.
General, you're one of the four or five nicest men who have ever lived, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Jeff.
Appreciate it. All right, have a good day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.